From our Buck studio here at WPR, welcome to the Midday for a Friday. I'm Norman Gilliland, and with me, two charming and virtuosic pianists, a piano duo, in fact, the Varshavsky-Shapiro duo. They consist of Stanislava Varshavsky, henceforth known as Stassi, and Diana Shapiro. And it seems it's been a couple of years since you've played on the show.
Yes, good afternoon, everybody. Yes, we are very grateful to be invited again to play on the show. We enjoyed our last time, and I think it had been probably 2 years since our last time.
And you're playing Sunday afternoon at 4 at Farley's House of Pianos, but you bounce all over the place. Now, you both teach at Silver Lake College in Manitowoc?
Yes, we both teach there, and also I teach in Chicago as well, Columbia College.
So, Eustace, you live in Illinois.
I live in Illinois. Diana lives
in... And I live just north of Milwaukee. But we just like playing together, and we don't mind driving if in the end you get a chance to meet your audience and let them know that there is this art of piano duo playing, and this is amazing music that you can play. It's very similar to, like, you, Norman, go all over Wisconsin and make your shows and meet your audience members.
You've been listening. Well, thank you. But you... Now, if I remember the story correctly, you did meet at school.
Yeah, while still in Jerusalem.
Mm-hmm.
We hated each other from the first sight. No love at the first sight.
I was going to say no love at first sight. But you were then in a situation where you were sort of forced to play together?
Yes, we were put together as a duo by our professor in Jerusalem, Alexander Tamir.
A very well-known duo pianist.
Right, with Bracha Eden.
Yes.
And they saw some chemistry between us. We didn't feel it at all.
They saw it, but you didn't see it. That's great.
They saw it's quite an unusual type of chemistry. And they say, you better try to take it seriously. We haven't listened at first, but guess what? Professor is sometimes right.
They're sometimes
so
right.
So our relationship evolved, starting as a professional collaboration first, and then we became close friends, and I would say that music made us to be the closest friends ever.
Well, that's often the case, isn't it, that music makes for close friendships?
Yeah,
and sometimes it goes the other way, too, of course.
Right.
Yeah, but you experience very similar emotions and ups and downs, and it brings you closer.
Now, early on, when you had this personality conflict, how did you get over that to play coherently?
When we play, we have one music. We have one character. We share the same, sometimes one keyboard, sometimes two pianos. And there is no way we would feel differently, even if in life we are very different people, even now after 16 years of playing together, probably, we still different people. But when we come to the piano, to music, it's one person, it's, I hope, one heart and soul. So, yeah.
And I also feel that we just learned the lesson, the art of compromising, but not compromising your artistic integrity, but just recognizing that there is your correct opinion, and then there is another correct opinion, uh-huh. And they should meet together, preferably in the middle, but it's not always the case.
Really? It's never an instance where, Diana, you'll say, well, look, I know I'm right on this one, just work with me?
Oh, it happens a lot, but we try to negotiate, because I always think two musicians are always better than one, because we all come with our own perspective and our own ideas and experiences. And I do believe that when you argue, and we do argue sometimes about musical topics, you do come to closer to truth.
Do you have to practice together all the time, or do you actually have situations where you have to practice your part separately from Stassi's, or Stassi separately from yours, Diana?
It depends. Sometimes, especially if we're talking about four hands repertoire pieces that were written originally for one piano, four hands, like selections we play today, sometimes it makes much more professional musical sense to come together with minimal preparation separately, just to try out, because the texture of the piece is divided between two players, mm-hmm. and sometimes it's kind of hard to recognize what is the meaning of certain phrase. However, when we practice on two piano compositions, we do prefer to come. We respect each other's time and we respect each other's professional opinion, but you need to come at a certain technical level and ability to demonstrate your ideas. So it varies depending on what type of repertoire we work on.
If you want to stay a professional pianist and performer, you have to practice. You cannot stop. This minute when you stop practicing, you stop being a musician.
Mm. It's a lot like broadcasting.
Probably, yeah, exactly.
Keep at it. Yeah. And someday you'll get really good. But not in your case. You're already there. Now, you, Stasi, are at the treble side of the piano.
Right now.
That's what I was getting to. And yeah. Diana is at the bass. I can't remember this from a couple of years ago, and your other performances that I saw more recently were for two pianos, I think.
Yeah.
Do you switch off then?
Yeah, we do, because, you know, when we're going to do a year for one composition, I'm going to be the top. When we were young and selfish, we always calculated, I'm going to play 32 notes on top, and then you have to find me 32 notes part on top.
Yeah.
But, you know, right now I feel, and this is probably tell something about our experience as a piano duo, we come together to make, hopefully, good music. And our personal egoism and selfishness should come second. And at this point, when we try to build new program, we think about betterment of the music and not our personal ambitions.
Because, I mean, are there not sometimes subsidiary roles for one end of the piano or the other? No?
Yeah, sometimes one part takes a lead. But, you know, most of the compositions that we play today, most of them are originally written for that kind of medium. And I think that melody, even if it's on the top part, sometimes is absolutely impossible without the seemingly subordinate part of the accompaniment. So I'm kind of fine sitting on the bass.
Well, good. I'm glad we got that all settled before we get into some music. And you're going to start with something by Mendelssohn, and it's a concert piece, pretty curly, Allegro Brilliant. What about it?
Mendelssohn was a famous virtuoso pianist, and this piece kind of depicts his own abilities. It's a piece in one movement called Allegro Brilliant, meaning fast, and brilliant meaning many notes and passages piece, and it has a slight and virtuosic character with a little bit of two movements of kind of inner thought, and you may probably recognize the type of music, the texture from his famous Songs Without Words.
Allegro Brilliant by Mendelssohn. Thank you. Wow, I see the crowd jumping to his feet right now. If only they were here, but they're out there in radio land. That was the Allegro Brillante by Felix Mendelssohn, and my guest during the midday today, the Warshawski-Shapiro piano duo. And sometimes there were two hands on the piano, sometimes three hands, and of course, often there were four hands, and there's a little choreography required, isn't there? It's not like you're just playing the piano. You actually have to make room for the other person's hand flying your way.
Oh, yeah, but when we're dealing with pieces that were originally written for our medium and not transcribed, it makes a composer kind of had thought out about how it's possible to fit everything. You still need to really know what angle is your hand coming.
Yes.
Because you don't want to, sorry, hurt even some other person, and you want to create a coherent music by allowing each one of us to express our own personalities.
Yes.
And we're going to play today, most of the pieces are original, besides the very one, last one by Stravinsky, but in this transcription, and then made by us, but then it does require a certain manipulations.
Yeah, and the hand coming in at what would ordinarily be a strange angle to play.
Yeah, you're correct.
Played a couple of pieces by Rachmaninoff, and these were written for piano four hands. How much piano music did Rachmaninoff write for four hands?
Not much at all.
I was
all.
Going to say, so you don't hear about
only,
it much.
The only original opus.
Yeah, he has three more pieces for two pianos, two suites, and symphonic dances, but it's the only piece by Rachmaninoff for one piano four hands.
And so you have a scherzo and a waltz from this set of six pieces.
Right, correct, right.
Thank you. Well, lovely stuff. And I'm not sure that very many people could identify that as Rachmaninoff.
It's very early Rachmaninoff. It's one of his early pieces, Opus 11.
When he still kind of was wrote in tradition of his, one of his teachers in composition, Piotr Tchaikovsky, who is actually famous for bringing waltz rhythm, even though the composition is not titled waltz, to every one of his operas, like Eugene Onegin or symphonies. Mm-hmm. So we would say it's not a student work, but he's still looking for his breakthrough.
Yes, yes, which he soon found, of course.
Sure.
And now back with the Warshawski-Shapiro duo, Stanislava Warshawski and Diana Shapiro. They're going to be performing, by the way, at Farley's House of Pianos in Madison this Sunday afternoon at 4 o'clock. And they have just switched positions. Now we have Stasi at the bass and Diana at the treble. We have a Malagueña, right? This is one of those Spanish-inspired pieces by a French composer, this time Ravel.
Yeah, Ravel, there was a reason why Ravel was called, if I remember it correctly, the most Spanish from all the French composers. So he had this special affinity to music and rhythms of Spain, and the now next piece is no exception. It's Malagueña. It has a dance Spanish rhythm.
Spanish by that French composer Maurice Ravel, Malagueña. And now we're going to at least, we're switching around again, I see.
Yeah, that's whole interest.
Keeps everything stirred up. We're going to go to a composer who spent a lot of time in France. I don't know if you could say that Stravinsky, do you think he was influenced by French music?
I think he may, because he encountered with Debussy, but Petrushka, the fragment from Petrushka that we are going to present next, is actually a piece, a turning point in his career when he looked for the ways to become unique. And he found it because it's the first piece where he brought together those beautiful melodies that sounds like Russian folk,
yes,
but none of them is. And then he brought together this new whole idea that music, a couple of musical lines, can evolve actually simultaneously in a piece, and they should not have any vertical intersection. This is a revolutionary thought in the history of Western music, and he is going to go even farther with that idea in his next big masterpiece, The Rite of Spring.
That's right. This is 1911, so it's in between Firebird and Rite of Spring.
But yes, it's Russian period, his Russian period, and it includes three ballets, completely different. All of them are very, very different. And you can hear, and it's very, very difficult to believe, he was only in his 20s when he wrote all of them. And very difficult to believe it was the same composer.
But you know, Norman, now thinking back at your words, was he influenced by French music? Just the topic itself, the Petrushka is a character of Commedia dell'arte. It's not French, it's Italian, but it's still, it's kind of how you bring those totally Western European tradition into Russian soil, and you blend it together to the point that then Westerners try to import this from Russia.
So true. Well, can we hear just the first part then, Petrushka Sal? And then we'll have another break, and then we'll hear the second part, which is more extensive. So here is Petrushka Sal from the works of Stravinsky. Now, before we take a break, I have to ask, you made this arrangement yourselves. Made this arrangement for yourselves.
Correct.
Did you? It's a very visual performance. I mean, sometimes it's even hard to tell whose hand I'm seeing.
Correct.
Did you make this arrangement with any kind of visual ideas in mind, or strictly just musical, practical?
The idea of this arrangement was that Stravinsky wrote a sketch of, he was a pianist and composer. Of course, composer first, pianist second, but he had a habit of composing in front of the piano because he can layer all those textures together. That's how the sketch of that ballet for four hands got to light, because he kind of wrote it very quickly, and some material was omitted, some material was not presented in the score. So when we decided to make it a livable option for performances, we actually brought a lot of orchestra instruments in, and yes, music came first and our physical comfortability came second.
I suppose, but that's the way it always is, isn't it?
Yeah, but our arrangement would be impossible without seeing ballets, different productions many times, and examine every move, what they do in this part and there. And it depends how much time we take our performance.
Sure.
Already.
Yeah, so we do have, when we play, we do have a visual representation of the ballet. Hopefully our listeners, even though it's on the radio, can still visualize what happens with this poor Petrushka, who is torn between being a puppet and being a human.
We kind of dance when we play.
I would say, as certainly your fingers do. And now we're going to get fairly quickly into this part four. It's called Shrovetide Fair Evening. And it's, again, this is the arrangement for piano four hands by my guests, the Warshawski-Shapiro duo, Moore Stravinsky.
Thank you.
The glissandes alone are worth the price of admission. How do you do that so precisely, Stassi? You're coming all the way across Diana's hands and then ripping those keys all the way up far into your end. How does that work?
Hopefully not ripping the keys. Keys are intact.
Or the fingers.
After a few hours of every day, you would be you would be able to do that the same.
Oh, yeah. No doubt. No doubt. But you have to build up a little skin to do that, don't you?
Yeah. I mean, it was a little sensitive to begin with.
Well, what are you going to be performing at this concert that's coming up Sunday, by the way?
It's a great opportunity that Farley House of Piano provides to the community of medicine, because they are really passionate about bringing great piano music to the community. And our recital this year will include pieces that kind of connected to France, where the composer was born in France, or it was a composer who is not a French origin, but who was entertained by French music and wanted to have his own take on it.
That gives you a lot to choose from.
Oh, yeah. Yes, we call it a French program. We have, of course, we have Millau, original French composer, Ravel, we just heard.
Yes. Camille Saint-Saëns. And Schubert, even though he's not French technically, but he wrote a beautiful, cute set of variations on French theme that is going to open the program on Sunday. So please come, and I hope it's going to be an enjoyable evening.
Well, I have no doubt that it will. And what other performances you have upcoming?
We have quite a lot. Whoever cannot come on Sunday, there is still an opportunity to hear this program on November 15th in the First Unitarian Church.
Oh, really?
In Madison. And then from here on, we have trips planned to Michigan and to Missouri to lecture and perform at the University of Columbia, Missouri. Also some trips on the East Coast in the near future. So we're keeping ourselves busy.
And you're teaching other duo pianists how to do this. It is kind of a specialty, isn't it?
It's very special, and it's our dream that one day I hope will come true, to have other people who are interested in that art of sharing the keyboard.
Do you ever record?
Oh, yeah, we have 3 CDs, and the latest one is a collection of recordings that were done by the Wisconsin Public Radio, actually.
Oh, really? That wasn't a sneaky way for me to get in a plug.
No, but it's actually a really good recording. I need to admit the quality is amazing.
Okay, well, that's one thing that we're hoping to get into more is actually archiving some of these performances that we record so many of them in the course of a year around Wisconsin and making them more generally heard, which is a good idea, especially in your case. Fabulous stuff.
Yeah, because some of the live performances are quite amazing.
Well, thanks for playing on the show. I look forward to the next time.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for having us.
Stanislava Warshawski and Diana Shapiro, the Warshawski-Shapiro duo.